I was sitting outside of Tijuana Flats Sunday in my car. My car was running, and I was just sitting there minding my business, looking at my phone, sitting there waiting patiently for my food to be ready so I could go in and pick it up. You pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. May you speak through me, if not because of me, in spite of me. And God, we ask that you would give each of us the humility and the insight to hear that which our soul needs today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sitting in my car, minding my own business, looking at my phone. And out of nowhere, this woman comes walking down the sidewalk with purpose. A woman, mind you, that I had never met. I did not know. But she walks up, opens my passenger door, and gets in the car. No hesitation, none whatsoever. Like full confidence, done this a million times, knows exactly what she's doing. And in that moment, I'm wondering, what is happening right now? My brain's trying to figure out and make sense of what's going on. Like, is this a prank that's being pulled on me? Like, is somebody filming and I'm going to see this on Instagram or TikTok later? Like, what is this that's happening? And then I had probably the most ridiculous thought, and maybe I'm the only one who had this, but I'm not so sure. I thought for a moment, wait, am I in the right car? Of course I was. I drove it there. But I still started to wonder, like, is this on me rather than her? And then she started to say something, like, full on mid-conversation, as if I was supposed to know what she was talking about. And as she turns, putting her seatbelt on, she starts to make the turn. She looks at me, and everything on her face changes. And you can just, like, see real-time processing happening on her face, and she realizes, oh no, she's in the wrong car at that moment. At this point, I just want to know, how many people have done this before? Because this is crazy. I think I've gotten close to once, but I don't know if I ever actually got in the car. But she quickly unbuckles, grabs her food, and jumps out, shuts the door, and walks away as fast as she can. And again, I am left sitting there like, what just happened? People are getting the wrong idea. But she, I was so confident when she got there. She didn't hesitate. She didn't check. She didn't second guess. She was absolutely sure that that was her car until she wasn't. Until she realized that she had completely misread and completely misunderstood where she was. And I think the truth is that we all do this as well. We read situations, we draw conclusions, and we move forward like we're certain about the answer, like we are right. We assume we know what's happening. We assume we know what it means and where it's heading. And most of the time, we don't even question ourselves because it just feels obvious. Anybody can get this. So I want to ask you something that I also am asking myself. Is it possible that we might be doing the exact same thing here today? Is it possible that we might be doing the exact same thing here today? It's not in our parking lot, right? But here in church. Is it possible that we're doing the same thing in our own lives? It's easy to laugh at a moment like that when it's obvious, and we laugh. I think we laugh because we feel the pain so deep that she must have felt, or the terror and the confusion that I felt. It's easy to laugh at those, but it's different when it's not so obvious. Like when it's our own situation, it becomes very different. When it's our own relationships, our own careers, our own families, our own futures, it changes. Just like that woman who knew for certain it was her car, we also tend to draw conclusions that we are certain about. we are certain about what something means, or about what someone else is thinking or feeling, or about where our lives or the world is heading. And often, we're not even aware of how confident we've become in our own conclusions. This sermon I preached to you and I preached to myself. Perhaps you told yourself, this is how it is. This is what's happening. This isn't going to change. And everything you see or we see just keeps reinforcing that thing that we already know. But again, I ask you, what if we've misread the situation? What if we're standing in the middle of something and we've interpreted it completely wrong? What if the situation that you have decided is over isn't? What if the thing that you've labeled as final isn't? What if the silence that you've assumed is absence isn't absence at all? Here's the deep underlying tension that I think we feel. If you're wrong, you often don't know that you're wrong. If you're wrong, you often don't know that you're wrong. And that's what makes this somewhat unsettling. Because it means that it's possible to be completely convinced and still completely miss what is actually happening. And I think we're going to see the same as we lean into the resurrection story from Luke chapter 24. Jesus, who had walked the earth for several years teaching God in the flesh, been spending time with the people who others would easily forget or easily overlook. He had called together the types of people that others perhaps would not want in their circle. Jesus had shown great love and care and compassion for people. He had challenged what were injustices and suffering. Jesus had healed people. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus, in a radical defiance to power and might, allowed himself to be arrested, tortured, and crucified. And the women, the disciples, stayed by his side. And they watched as his spirit left his body. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they asked for Jesus' body because they want to take Jesus' body and give an appropriate burial for Jesus as best as they can because they're running out of time, which is not common for someone who has been crucified on the cross. They don't typically get an honorable burial, but they're trying. And the women were there, and they watched. And they marked the spot where Jesus was put into a tomb so that they would know when they came back. And then we read this verse, and this is actually Luke 23, verse 56. So it's right before we get into Luke 24. Then they, this is talking about the women, returned and prepared spices and ointments to continue that honorable burial. Should have normally been done before. They didn't have time. They're trying to do it after. Clearly, Jesus meant a lot to them. Jesus was significant to them. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. On the Sabbath, the women rested according to the commandment. Can we just pause for just a moment? This is not really part of the sermon, but let's just name for a second. The women cared deeply about Jesus. They had just gone through significant trauma. And they're experiencing incredible pain and grief. And what does the verse say they did? They stopped, rested, and waited. How many times have you in your life had to wait in a situation you didn't want to be in? This is where they are. They don't want to be in that spot. And yet they're waiting. I don't know about you, but if it was written about me, it wouldn't say I rested. It would say I paced around the house nonstop, waiting to do something that I couldn't do. As soon as possible, after the Sabbath had ended and the sunlight was returning so they could get to the tomb, the women got to work. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. This is most certainly not at all what they would have expected. To go to the tomb and the stone rolled away, first off, is crazy enough, but then also to go in and see that the body is gone, this is nothing like what they would have expected. They had come really just to honor Jesus and continue the pain and trauma that they had endured on Friday. It's important for all of us to recognize, it's easy for us to look at this sort of way because we're past it, but for them, in that space, in that moment, no one, not a single person was expecting resurrection. No one was looking for hope that day. That was not an expectation at all. In their minds, and rightfully so, the story of Jesus was over. Done. It was going to be nothing more than a memory of what once was and what could have been. That's what they expected when they went there. Then we get to verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Did you notice the question? Did you notice the question in the middle that tells us that everything has changed? That the world that once was would actually no longer exist? It's easy to miss it, but it's a very important question. 24:5. Why do you look for the living among the dead? This question reframes everything. The women were looking in the wrong place for Jesus because they were expecting the wrong kind of outcome. They were expecting the normal, that death wins, that Rome and all the Romans that would ever come would have the greatest authority and power and might. But here is what is striking. Everything had changed. Jesus was alive. Death had been defeated. A new reality had begun. The fact that Jesus could defeat death and the greatest humiliation that humanity could pour on him tells you and tells me and tells all of us that no matter what might seem like the end to us, no matter what we see in the world, it's not actually all there is. That no matter how dark the scenario, God is still capable. No matter how dark your personal situation gets, or a family dynamic, or the world around us, God is still capable. And yet, even when everything has changed, the world didn't actually look that different, did it? Everything had changed, but the world did not look that different. Rome was still in power. The sham trial and the leaders of it still happened, and those leaders are still in their place. The terrible torture and the horrific death on the cross still happened, and the disciples themselves were still confused. The women had told the disciples, but they didn't get it. And I imagine the women still didn't fully understand what was going on. I imagine they were like me in the car, that even after the lady left, I was like, I don't really get it. This is weird. I'm confused. Everything had changed, but it didn't look like it yet. And everything has changed, and yet still sometimes it doesn't look like it yet. One more verse in Luke 24, verse 12. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Peter, who is a do first, think later kind of person, Peter goes and runs and looks and doesn't see anything, just the linen cloths. And he's amazed, is what it says. But did you notice it doesn't say he understands? It doesn't say that he has the answers. It doesn't say that he knows Jesus has resurrected. He's just simply amazed. There's no real clarity here. There's not even really full confidence. Exactly. There's no full understanding of what had happened. Peter was trying to make sense of something that he could not yet fully grasp. And maybe that's where some of us are today. Or maybe we've been there for a while. We're not certain. We're not fully clear. But we might be wondering, what if this is actually true? You see, Easter is not just about what happened to Jesus. Yes, Jesus is risen. Yes, we celebrate with bells and clapping and noise. And yes, somebody might bring an air horn next year because I said that. But Easter is not just about what happened to Jesus. It's not just about what happened to Jesus. Easter is about what God has begun. The resurrection is not just a miracle. It's actually the beginning of a new creation. It is God beginning that new creation. It is God's way of saying that sin does not get the final word. Death does not get the final word. And whatever brokenness you or I experience will never get the final word. God's grace, God's love has already begun working. God's love for every human being and all of creation is moving ahead of us before we can fully recognize it, before Peter could fully understand, before the women could fully understand. God's grace was already moving ahead. And God's love, even 2,000 years ago, was drawing all of us and every person into the possibility of being made new. This question we've been asking all of us is, what does believing in Jesus change? So what does believing in this about Jesus change? It means you begin to trust reality before you fully feel it or understand it. It means you begin trusting a reality that God is beginning something new before you feel it or understand it. And that's not always easy, is it? Because everything in us wants proof first, clarity first, some kind of visible, tangible sign that things are actually different. We so desperately want that. But Easter, friends, the resurrection, does not work like that. The empty tomb, the resurrected Jesus, says that things have already changed, even if circumstances haven't caught up yet. So what does this mean for us? It means that when life feels stuck, that you don't have to assume nothing is happening. When the situation still looks the same, you don't have to assume the story is over. When you don't feel different, you don't have to conclude that God isn't at work or doesn't care about you. Because Jesus is alive, something deeper, more significant is already happening. Something underneath the surface, something that you and I may not even be able to measure yet. Something that we may not even understand. And for some of us, there's a step we need to take. That not having everything figured out, not having full clarity, but instead perhaps we need to practice our muscle of hope, of trust, and of understanding that God is beyond anything that we are fully capable of wrapping our minds around. Would we really want it any other way than that, though? What if God is already doing more than you or I can see? What if God is already calling you or I or us into a new life? Where you know that you are loved and cherished, and you are given a divine purpose of receiving God's love and also sharing that. That is a divine purpose given to every single one of us. What if the place you've labeled as dead is actually where God is about to bring life? You don't have to feel everything changing to trust that something has changed. Because Easter, the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus, is not just a moment of celebration. It's not just this day that we get together once a year. It's not the day that some of us go to church because we are invited and we love our loved one and I'm going to go listen to Brian and be bored. I understand, and I get it, and that's okay. It's okay. The disciples were all in different places, and God reached out to them in different ways. And I'm convinced that no matter where we are, who we are, God is reaching out to us in a way that we can understand. But I hope that you hear that the resurrection of Jesus is not just a moment that we celebrate. It's instead a new reality in the world around us. And it's a new reality that we can lean into. It begins by choosing to trust that because Jesus is in fact alive, that your story and mine and the story of the world around us may not be as final as it seems. The women came expecting death. They left with a question: why do we look for the living among the dead? Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, means that everything has changed. Even if it doesn't feel like it yet, even if it doesn't look like it yet. Because Jesus is alive, and when Jesus is alive, nothing is as final as it seems. Everything has changed. Can you pray for me? Gracious God, we're human. And some of us, we get things right, and then other days, maybe even in the same day, we get it completely wrong. And we navigate this life that is filled with joys and celebrations, and is filled with at times great pain and suffering and injustices that it's hard for us to watch unfold. No matter where we are today, no matter where each person here or online with us is at today, God, may through the power of your Spirit, may they know that they are loved, that your grace surrounds them, and that you are inviting them to live into a new reality of new creation that has started underneath the surface. God, help us to both receive the love that you have for each of us, but may you also give us the strength to respond in sharing that with others. For no matter how dark or how bleak, no matter how terrible a situation may be, there's always more than meets the eye. Everything has changed. And hope is resurrected. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.